Welcome to this week's CMS Personalized Learning Teacher Voice Podcast, Episode 27. My name is Katie Weed, and today we are going to talk about grit. Mindset matters, and you would think that a teacher, of all people, would approach learning with an open mindset. But sometimes I don't. Like the time when I first heard about grit in a professional development session. I just dismissed it as another buzzword in education. It wasn't until I read Angela Duckworth's book about grit that I not only saw my own story, but truly valued the implications it had for me directly as a teacher, as well as in the lives of my students. No, grit is not a mere buzzword in education. It's the heartbeat of education. It's what keeps us going as teachers, even through failure. It drives our students to try for the first time and the 300 tries after that. Duckworth defines grit as passion and perseverance to achieve long-term goals. Based on reading and experience, I took the core building blocks that lead to success or achievement and sequenced them. I want you to think about a great achievement or success that you've had in your life. Let's take a closer look at what likely led to that success. First step is it began with an idea, interest, passion. Next, you were motivated and decided to try. Next step is where it all comes together, the combination of your skill, talent, and ability. Now, the skill is developed, talent is given, the ability to learn is not fixed, according to the research of Carol Dweck, her work with growth mindset. She brings attention to the fact that the brain changes and grows when it is challenged. The final outcome of all of this, combined with effort over time, perseverance, was your success or achievement. In education, we spend a disproportionate amount of time focusing on skill, talent, and ability. We look at strategies to teach skills and curriculum, assessments, data, and repeat. We only scratch the surface of one's true potential if we are limited to skill, talent, and ability. Let me start by saying that I'm a very ordinary person when it comes to my innate ability. However, I have been able to be a part of many opportunities beyond my abilities just by saying yes. Let's try. Did you catch that? Beyond my abilities. At the age of 18, doctors found a lemon-sized brain tumor in my head. They actually gave me a choice. Do nothing, probably wouldn't live much longer, or surgery, which involved a number of risks. I asked if I could return to school and try to finish classes early, and here I have a copy of my brain tumor doctor note, which is pretty funny. It says, Katie has a major brain tumor, and arrangements for finishing the semester early would be beneficial. Due to paralysis in my face and loss of hearing, it changed the direction of my career plan from majoring in a concert instrument to education. During this time, I struggled with disabilities, including communicating my thoughts with words. I used to speak at this rate because I couldn't find the words to express what I was thinking. I had to scribe in college because I didn't have the fine motor skills necessary to write with my hands. Today, learning and communication still do not come easily. I learn and process information slowly. I didn't even schedule classes for the following semester because I was told I would be in bed for up to a year after surgery. My first week home, I was lying on the couch and I could see flowers out the window that needed to be planted. And in that moment, I made a decision that I was going to try. I was in terrible pain and dizzy. I would get nauseous just from moving my head. I had a shaved head, an eye patch, a walker. I was now permanently deaf in my right ear. But I took that first step and said, I'm going to try. 1 year later, at a time that I could have still been in bed, I ran a half marathon right past the hospital where the 9.5-hour brain surgery took place. This is my story of grit. On my personal journey, saying yes, let's try, has led me to many mission trips around the world, a teaching job in this district 16 years ago, which was 500 miles from all the people that I knew. It's led me to trying beekeeping, banjo, knitting, piano, guitar, sewing, painting, dancing lessons, electrical work, and floral design. Now, some of these didn't work out, like the dancing lessons. The instructor let me know pretty quickly it was not a good fit. In the classroom, I've tried TED Talks, grants, robotics, invention trade shows, writing curriculum, teaching a gifted multi-age, and my master's in gifted education. But maybe the most significant, and at the time that I originally shared this, I was standing on a stage speaking without any notes or anything. So I said, you know, at the most significant could be that I'm standing here speaking in complete fluent sentences. Because I said, yes, I'm going to try. Ability had little to do with any of these. They all began because of an idea or passion and were followed through with great effort, grit. If you have a passion, follow it. If you don't have a passion, find it. Teachers, it is not your ability that will light a fire in yourself and in your students. It is your passion. Many of us in education have become numb. The data and numbers of that third box are so close to our faces that we've lost sight of why we went into this profession to begin with. We need to reach back to box 1 and 2, and those are the boxes of the idea, interest, passion, I will try. We need to reach back to those boxes. Let us fuel those to be successful in box 3. And box 3 again was the skill, talent, and ability. Pay attention to your ideas. Don't wait for a team to join you. Just move forward and act. One time I was on a field trip and we were approaching a colonial garden. And one of my fifth grade students, she saw the garden and she said, "Ew, it comes out of the ground and people eat it?" So here we had a real disconnect with the food source and a gap in some of the learning that had taken place. I could not send her to middle school with these misunderstandings. So I had an idea. I wrote a grant that funded a school garden. We grew many vegetables successfully, and we had an amazing end-of-year picnic. Families were invited, and we ate a lot of squash. But yet again, ability played just a modest role in this success. All I really did was pay attention to my idea and said yes and followed through. These huge events like the garden are not happening daily in my classroom by any means, but you will see small ideas being played out all day, such as a fourth grade lesson in which students are creating innovative tiny homes, or a fifth grade lesson in literacy where students are reading and discussing in a Socratic seminar how they would handle current immigration policy if they were in office. I often wonder how team planning would look if we lived in box 1 and 2, the grit. By this I mean allow time and share many ideas and possibilities. How often do you avoid sharing your ideas because they may not be accepted, or you quickly see the roadblocks to implementation? In that garden that I just told you about, we didn't even have a water source, but that didn't stop us from carrying buckets of water down a hill during recess. We live in a cynical world. Do you ever notice, though, that children typically aren't cynical? Children are easily excited. What would it look like if we as teachers matched their level of excitement, their level of passion, grit? To make a difference, taking risks is inevitable. If you never test your idea about a new way to teach a standard, complacency sets in quickly. All content can be passion-driven. All content can be taught with grit. All content can be learned with grit. I want this for my own children, as well as my students. So how do we nurture passionate and grittier students? Well, first, let's stop saying what they can't do, or what you think their limitations might be because of lack of prerequisite knowledge in their home life. Allow time and space for students to pay attention to their ideas. share, and act on them. Praise children for great effort, perseverance, and completion of challenging tasks. Listen to their voices. They need to feel heard, and relationships are key in our role. Encourage children to try new things. Establish a risk-free environment where brainstorming can occur. Equip them with tools to figure out problems on their own. Recently, I was working with a group of 7-year-olds. They wanted me to model and show them how to solve every single challenging problem. I explained to them that this really wasn't helping them improve in their problem solving, and they needed to figure it out on their own. And then they did, and it was as simple as that. This affirmation will drive them to continue to persevere. Give these opportunities often. Now, ability and talent, they do matter, and you will never see me leading a Zumba class. But I know this because I've tried Zumba so many times. However, if we broaden the focus that we have on ability, skill, and talent, and we include developing passion and perseverance, we will truly be equipping our students for a more successful future. Some of the best ideas may be resting within you. Begin paying attention to them, sharing them. Say yes, let's try. And move forward with those that deserve to be lived out. My first few weeks as a teacher, an older gentleman, he looked me in the eyes and unflinchingly, he said, "You'll be doing good to make it a year." Today, I still teach. Not because of talent, not because of skill, not because of ability. I teach because of passion and perseverance. Grit. Thank you for listening to CMS Teacher Voice this week. We look forward to learning more with you next week.